This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's a winter solstice of our discontent Enviro Show. I am one of your co-hosts, Dio, and I'm not in the studio with...
I'm discontented Glenn Ayers.
Yes, and winter solstice greetings, Earthlings. Return of the Light starts on December 21st at 4.02 a.m. here in the eastern U.S. You may not be up at that hour, but we see there are celebrations at other times. Go to the blog, click on the link for that, Enviro Show, without the W, .blogspot.com. Also, C.C. Duchette, Director of Massachusetts for Safe Technology, returns to discuss electromagnetic pollution and what that means for us and all the critters out there. So, why don't we move on to our quote of the week on this note?
We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Let's end on that note with our quote of the week. This is the solstice, the still point of the sun, its cusp and midnight, the year's threshold and unlocking, where the past lets go and becomes the future. And that was Margaret Atwood.
Excellent quote. And I like the still point of the sun because that's what solstice means.
Right.
It's the sun standing still. And that happens over a period of, it appears, if you're looking at the sun on the horizon, for a few days there, it seems like it's standing still. And that's the beginning of the return.
Excellent. Well, I think that takes us to our interview with our guest.
All right. Today on the Enviro Show, we are joined by C.C. Duchette. And C.C. has been on the show a few years ago when we were talking about, well, similar topic that we're going to be covering today. And that is the incredible amount of electromagnetic radiation pollution. There's no other word for it. Pollution that is bombarding us. We can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, but it has an impact on biological systems. And we are a biological entity. We're also a highly electrical entity. Our entire body is really run by electricity. And nerves and everything else, they're electrical synapses that are firing constantly. And all of this electronic pollution has to have an impact on all of that, not only on us, but on all the critters out there who don't have the same kind of luxury that we have to be able to turn things off. They can't turn things off. They're exposed every day, constantly, by the ever-increasing amount of electromagnetic pollution. So, C.C., that's a little intro, but please introduce yourself and tell our listeners about this. It might be something that they've heard very little about in the past, but why is this important? And, you know, ultimately, what can we do to put some rein on this never-ending juggernaut of increasing electrical pollution?
Oh, Glenn, thank you so much for inviting me to join you today on the Enviro Show. I had no idea that there was anything to even think about with wireless technology until one night at book group, a girlfriend of mine who's an electrical engineer tipped us off that there are biological effects. And it really piqued my interest because for 8 years, I had revived and then run the local education foundation here in Ashland, Massachusetts. At the time when the industry was introducing their 21st century classroom, and I literally ran campaign after campaign to get wireless technology into our schools because we're a small town. We didn't have budget. So we got wireless infrastructure and iPads and Chromebooks and smart boards and, all this technology we were being told our kids would need to succeed in the world. And so when Wendy mentioned it at book group, I just kind of made a mental note of it. And then not long after that, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, these are the doctors that get the conundrum cases that regular doctors haven't been trained to address. The American Academy of Environmental Medicine put out a position statement back in 2012 to school superintendents asking them not to let wireless into our schools. So that really piqued my interest. And I had the privilege of earning a master's degree in technical and professional writing from Northeastern University. So I just thought, wow, is there any science to this? And folks, you will be blown away at the volume of science that we now have today showing extensive biological harm from these invisible pulsations of man-made radiation. So when I see somebody wearing like a pair of iPod buds in their head, I'll go up to them and say, "Hey, so how's the magic happening when we stopped plugging in with wires? How are we getting that information up to our ears from our device that's somewhere probably tucked on our body?" And what we did is we got talked into the convenience of wireless because it's very convenient and we love our technology and there's so much we can do that is great with technology. So today's message is not no technology, it's safe technology. But when we gave up the wires, we traded it in for two-way transmissions of radio frequency, microwave radiation. And when we put those earbuds in our ear, we're literally putting a microwave transmitter right up to our brain. And it used to be so rare that we would talk to anybody with a brain cancer. And now we hear about it quite commonly, these glioblastoma multiforme or GBM tumors are now becoming more commonplace and in younger and younger people who have used this technology long enough. We see thyroid cancers, we see acoustic neuromas, and that's not only from the earbuds, but also putting the cell phone right up to our heads. So we want to teach people how to use technology more safely. And I do a free public education webinar with an organization that I founded about a dozen years ago called Massachusetts for Safe Technology. And it's easy to find online. It's just MA, the number four, safetech.org. So Massachusetts for Safe Technology. And I do a free webinar every month because it took me years to piece all this together once I started reading the science. And so we do this webinar. It's about 2 hours every month to teach you the science, to tell you what medical doctors are recommending we do, and to start you off with baby steps for using your own technology more safely. Because when we look at the science, we see not only cancers, that's the long range effect, but in the short term, a lot of the anxiety, the depression, and goodness, insomnia, anger, all of these neurotoxic effects we are seeing are now well documented in the science, not just for correlation, but actual causation. And the beauty of it is when you just learn a little bit and these little hacks that you can do, like my house is completely hardwired. I stopped circling my tail after a couple of months and I just went to each device in my home that was wireless and figured out how to put a wire back into it and then go into each device and turn off the antennas that are radiating. So, for example, if nobody's ever read the legal fine print in their phone, if you happen to have an iPhone, I know right where it is. Take out your iPhone right now and go into settings. From settings, hit general, and then go all the way down on the general menu. And at the bottom, you'll see legal and regulatory. When we hit legal and regulatory, that brings up the next menu. And four down, you see RF exposure, which is radio frequency microwave radiation that they politely call energy because it is an invisible man-made energy form. And they say that they tested this device at a distance from the body. So if we're using it the way it's given it to us, we're holding it, we're putting up to our heads, we're tucking it in our shirts and our bras and our waistbands and our back pocket or our yoga pants. And we now see that colon and rectal cancers are doubling and quadrupling, even among younger and younger populations. But again, the message is not no technology, it's safe technology. When you read further down in their disclaimer in the legal section there, it says to reduce your exposure, basically once you know you're radiating yourself, don't touch it. It says to reduce your exposure, use a hands-free option, like the speakerphone or like a headset. And if you do need to use a headset, look for something called a hollow tube or an air tube headset, because those will allow you to set your, you know, plug into your device, set it far away from you. And then it's got little ferrite beads halfway up the wire that block the radiation. And then the acoustics just go up to your ears or your brain through a hollow tube with, make sure you get one with no metal going up to the brain. Because if there's, like, I saw one company was putting out headsets that had magnets so you could hang the thing around your neck when you're not using it. But one of the properties of this man-made radiation is it amplifies with metal. So you don't want to have metal near your head if you're in a radiation environment. So little hacks that we teach every month at our free public education webinar. If you go out to our events page, I will be posting our January event in the coming days. But there's also links to events we've done most recently. So again, if this is the first time that you're hearing about this, when my kids were little and they got some upsetting news, I'd say, go scream into the couch pillow, get it out of your body. You know, when birds or dogs get distressed, they'll shake it off, right? So shake it off, get it out of your body, then just come back to the table and learn what the science is telling us and what we can do to stay safer. Now, there's a few really important things that are happening here in Massachusetts, and similar things are happening all over the country and all over the world. But I was invited to be on this show to talk about some interesting turn of events out in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. So 5 years ago, Verizon put a cell tower on top of this neighborhood in Pittsfield called Shacktown. And this is a nice neighborhood. People have worked really hard to be able to buy their homes and raise their families. Well, the cell tower goes up, and they could see that the trucks had been breaking in through the cul-de-sac in their neighborhood to go to the woods right behind their home. And they're like, well, hey, what's going on? And they called their town. Their town had no idea what was going on. They called the local police. The police had no idea what was going on. And it turns out that there was a 59-acre property abutting the Shacktown neighborhood. And years ago, they had gotten a permit to put a cell tower up at the address on the far side of this property up in the commercial zone. And instead, Verizon came through and put it right on the corner of this lot, right on top of this neighborhood. So they're prone to taking the path of least resistance. So wherever there's, you know, no mountains they have to clear, or no roads they have to build heavily, or no electrical that they have to put in for new, they can hook up to whatever else is close by. That's a quicker revenue stream for them. So Verizon puts the cell tower on right on top of this neighborhood. And, you know, they were talking to the guys that were coming through, and the police had even put up police tape to stop them from coming through, and they just went right through it. And the guys in the trucks were saying, ah, you know, this cell tower is going up and there's nothing you can do to stop it. This is just the cost of doing business. So these poor families are like, what is going on here? And then one day, this little girl comes downstairs in the morning and says, Mama, my head feels all buzzy and I'm achy and I've got this headache. And so the mom called Verizon, and indeed that was the day that that cell tower got turned on. So this little girl and her big sister and the mother and their dog all started getting really sick. The girls were sleeping with vomit buckets in their bed. 17 children and neighbors in this neighborhood started getting sick with headaches, with nausea, with anxiety, with depression. There are those whose cancers had come back. And so this is not child's play. These cell towers are very, very biologically active and dangerous. So they started talking to their, zoning board, their planning board, their city council, their board of health, and they started going to the meetings every month that these meetings were held and sharing what their experience was and asking for help. And so eventually the Massachusetts Department of Public Health got involved. But then through some Freedom of Information Act requests, I think when my name came up, the board of or the Massachusetts Department of Public Health decided not to come in. Now, back in 2016, I had worked with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, and together we had crafted fact sheets to go to the public that would tell them what these electromagnetic fields are and precautions to take. And, being the Enviro show here, Glenn was absolutely spot on that this is damaging to the birds, the bees, the trees, and every bacteria and biome out there. But with the devices under our control, like our cell phones, our routers, our wearables, our baby monitors, our gaming systems, our wireless security systems, and our mouse and our keyboard and our laptop and our tablet, all of that we have control over, and we can learn just little hacks, little baby steps to stay connected but protected. But with these smart meters and with cell towers, we lose all of our rights. So with the Pittsfield cell tower, we had for the first time, after a couple of years of these families showing up and saying, "Look, we got sick. All the pollinators in our yards have disappeared. The gardens that we've grown for 30 years, we can't even grow without hand pollinating now because the pollinators are gone." So, for the first time in the United States, right here in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, the Board of Health investigated and they met with doctors, they met with scientists, they met with the industry so-called expert. And they came out with this emergency order to Verizon documenting all the harm and their findings, and even highlighting that this expert that industry parades around is no expert in this field at all. Sure, he looks good on paper because he's a PhD in physics, but he's never published one study in this area. He specializes in quarks and other physics properties. So they put out this amazing emergency order asking Verizon to come to the table. Verizon at the 11th hour refused and instead took them to court to say, "Hey, the FCC says you can't tell us where we can put a cell tower and where we can't." And that goes back to the Telecom Act of 1996. But what we believe is that that only applies to the application process and the siting of the cell tower. Once something comes into the community, if it's a nuisance or if it's causing harm to one's health or the environment, we believe, and their Board of Health believes, that it is now the jurisdiction of the Board of Health to remedy that and make sure that toxin goes away. So this has gone through several layers of legal action, and just last week it was at the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court. And the attorneys are arguing that the Board of Health needs to have their powers reinstated from when Verizon put up this injunction against the Board of Health. Their mayor and their city solicitor have strong ties to the industry, and they kind of bullied their Board of Health to rescind the emergency order. So this lawsuit is to reinstate the powers of the Board of Health to get that cell tower addressed. Maybe it's re-angling the antennas so it doesn't hit this neighborhood. Maybe it's turning down the power on it, or maybe it's moving that cell tower to a different location. And there's a property owner in Pittsfield who has commercial property, and he's offered, "Hey, we'll take the money for the leasing of the land. Move that cell tower over here because it's nowhere near a residential area." But Verizon is not a very good corporate citizen, and they have not come to the table. So we are hopeful that the Supreme Court here in Massachusetts will find in favor of the Board of Health and reinstate their powers. It will probably be next spring before we hear their findings as they review the record and the law around it. But one of the judges asked, he said, "Can you point me to another case that's just like this one so we can see what happened?" But there isn't one. This is the first one. So we are all pioneers in this, but there's great precedents happening all over the country. And Children's Health Defense and the Environmental Health Trust have sued the Federal Communications Commission for ignoring 11,000 pages of evidence of harm entered into the public record. And the courts found the FCC guilty. The DC Circuit Court of Appeals said to the FCC, "We're remanding this back to you. You need to account for, aside from cancers, you need to account for the harm to children, to the elderly whose mental capacities naturally decline a little bit, but we're seeing Alzheimer's coming on at earlier and earlier ages. You need to account for pregnant women and fetuses. You need to account for anybody with an existing health compromise, because one of the little secrets the industry doesn't want us to know is that biologically, our bodies only have so much energy. And that's pretty well calibrated to get us through everyday demands, cell repair and regeneration while we sleep. But when we leave these electromagnetic fields pulsating at us all night, the brain thinks the lights are on because the brain perceives this invisible man-made light energy form, thinks the lights are on, doesn't release the melatonin to go in and regulate our sleep. And then we wind up with sleep problems. And if we're not sleeping right, that just does a whole domino effect down to all of our biological systems and organs. So we know the harm. We need the population to start learning and speaking up about this. So I will do this free webinar every month. Go to my events page at Massachusetts for Safe Technology. The Children's Health Defense and Environmental Health Trust are now putting pressure on the courts to come back and make the FCC adhere to their order because it's been 4.5 years and the FCC has done nothing. And now there are bills being filed in Congress that would completely strip local control on where cell towers can be placed. So literally, you can wake up tomorrow with trucks out there putting a cell tower in your front yard or in your neighbor's backyard, and that is going to be a very, very toxic situation. So these organizations are making it easy for the public to speak up on this. Go to Massachusetts for Safe Technology, click on the Join Us button, and I send out these action alerts that make it 5 minutes on your part. These guys have put it all together. All you got to do is fill out your information, send it to your state representatives, to your federal representatives, to the FCC, and also locally, because our local administrators don't really understand what the industry is up to. And if we don't speak up, if our towns don't speak up, any setbacks that we might have in our zoning bylaws are going to become null and void. They are just going to do a complete power grab and put these cell towers in, just like they're putting those smart meters in, and they are making people sick. And some people say, "You know what? I use my devices all the time and I feel fine." And I'm like, "Well, that's amazing. That's awesome." But we need to know that, as with any toxin, it's cumulative with dose. So our bodies can fight the good fight, but oftentimes, something changes and we hit that tipping point, and these cell towers and the smart meters, or even, making your home a smart home and putting all these new accoutrements in. With 5G and the Internet of Things, the industry is forecasting that we're all going to have 200 wirelessly connected devices in our homes. And folks, as Glenn said, that is a huge toxic soup of electropollution. So as dire as this sounds, there's always hope and there's always something we can do. So we'll teach you how to handle the devices that you have control over. And with great thanks to our colleagues, we will show you how to use your voice to speak up and get information out to our legislators to say, "Hey, this is a voting platform. I care enough about this issue that if you don't make it right, I'm not going to vote for you." And that's what gets our political parties motivated. So I'm so grateful, Glenn and Don, that you had me on today. I know we've hit the half hour mark, but if anybody has additional questions, I would be honored to answer those for you.
Cece, thanks so much for that exhaustive summary of the situation. And you mentioned cumulative impact, and I just want to make a comment about cumulative impact. And I'll admit that if I'm on a cross-country trip, camping or something like that, I might go to a fast food place and have an impossible Whopper. Maybe that happens once every few years. But if I did that every day, if that was the food that I ate every day, I ate nothing but junk food and fast food, the cumulative impact would be what we see in America, which is a lot of people that are unhealthy because they're basing their diet on junk. And that's cumulative. If you do it once in a while, your body can deal with it. But if you assault your body every day with pre-processed food and junk and hyper unreal food, then that has a cumulative impact on your health, on your physical, mental, spiritual health. And I think we need to think of the wireless world the same way. The cumulative impact is that if we're being exposed to this every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, it has a cumulative impact, just like basing your life on eating nothing but junk food instead of healthy, whole foods. You're eating garbage. And that's what is happening to us without our consent. I want to point out that this is a form of toxic trespass. We are not consenting to this because, for the most part, industry doesn't want you to know about it. And they hide it in obscure language at the very back of a little brochure that tells you about the exposure. So that's just my editorial comment about this whole thing, is that, like you said, there's also a cumulative impact. And that is when people get together and get organized and stand up, and we together can have a huge cumulative impact. But we all have to get together, get educated, get organized, and make our voices heard by the people who are making these decisions for us without our input. So I'm glad that you're doing these monthly training events and that you're raising the awareness on this issue, because that's really what it comes down to, is that people are unaware of this. Like I said, you can't see it, smell it, taste it, but your body can feel it. Even if you don't think you feel something, your body feels it. And other creatures can see in other wavelengths that we can't see. For instance, insects can see ultraviolet light,
Right.
and we can't see these invisible electromagnetic waves that are bombarding us. But if we could, we would be freaking out.
We would be. And you know what? I love everything that you've just said. Right around the same time that I figured out what the wireless issue was, I was diagnosed with leaky gut syndrome, or and so I had to really take a hard look at my food. And so I eat now a clean organic diet. I'm healthy as a horse. But yeah, you got to kind of do both the EMFs and the GMOs and all of that stuff. But when you say we can't see these invisible exposures, we now have an electromagnetic fields medical conference with doctors and scientists from all over the world. And I was honored to be brought in to speak on state and local policy because I've been working these bills in Massachusetts. We actually helped New Hampshire pass the first law to truly investigate. And they came out with a groundbreaking report documenting all these conflicts of interest with our federal agencies and the industry. But also at that medical conference, there was a device that was recommended to be able to see these invisible exposures. It's called the Safe and Sound Pro 2 Radio Frequency Radiation Detection Meter. And it's about a $400 device. There's a baby sister one that's under $200. But I helped my public library here in Ashland, Massachusetts, become the first in the nation to put one of these on loan. So that's a great idea that everybody can do, because all of our libraries are reinventing now, because A lot of people don't come to the library to rent a book anymore because they have their technology for that. And so libraries are reinventing, and most of them have a library of things collection. So it's not even a big ask today to say, hey, can you spare some budget to put a radio frequency detection meter on loan? So people all over the country are doing this. I think Pittsfield has one, maybe Lenox has one. I know we've got one here. Another one got a lesser meter, like in the $100 range, and we put them side by side, and it was missing some of the important signals. So if you can, for a community tool, go for the ones in the $400 range because you'll get a much better reading on that. But yeah, that's just one more thing you can do at the community level. There's an award-winning film called Generation Zapped, Zappeded, like I stuck my finger in a socket and got zapped. So Generation Zapped came out in 2018, and it's an amazing film that, in a very easy to watch way, teaches us what this is. And we've done community screenings on that. It's now widely available through streaming services, including for free through our public libraries that have subscriptions to Canopy and Hoopla. So it's important that we get educated first. But right now, with these bills that are happening, and the FCC has another measure where they're trying to strip local control because industry doesn't put all their eggs in one basket. They're going at it through FCC regulations as well as bills that they're trying to push through. So our friends at Children's Health Defense have put up a website called 704nomore.org. And 704 No More is important because it was in the language of the law in Section 704 of the Telecom Act that says, hey, sorry, if you have any concerns about the environment, which has been interpreted to include health, you're out of luck. You can't sue us. So it's kind of like what Big Pharma did, where they recuse themselves from any accountability or liability. So 704 No More is going to try and bring legal action to get that overturned so that if there is injury in our communities, we have legal recourse to remedy that. So 704nomore.org is another good website to look at. And again, there's always funding that is needed for all of these efforts to pay the legal fees and the teams that are behind the scenes spending countless hours pulling all this together. So if you're feeling generous, if you're in a position to support any of this, if you go to 704 No More or Environmental Health Trust or Massachusetts for Safe Technology, the funding really does help to do good things in our world. So come learn with us. Let's learn how to take action together and support in whatever way you can, whether it's, time, talent, or treasure. So thank you.
That's a lot.
Thank you, Cece. Really appreciate you coming on the show.
You betcha. Have a tech safe day, everybody.
Well, it's excellent learning more about solstice and learning about electromagnetic pollution. It's been a while since we discussed that on the show.
Yes, we had a few shows way back where we talked about all this EMF pollution or EMR, depending upon whether you call it frequency radiation pollution. But this is something that many people are not paying enough attention to. And hopefully, the efforts of Cece and others like her are going to continue to raise awareness because we're living in a polluted world. And I guess that's part of our winter of discontent, is that this pollution is insidious, it is invisible, and yet it's ever increasing. And we really need to, like we say on the show a lot, we really need to pay attention to wild nature and wilderness and get back to the garden, essentially, the earth as a garden. And we can't do that through technology. We have to do that through nature, through
Exactly.
reality.
Right.
Yeah.
Keep it.
Okay. Happy solstice, Dio.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah. And I'm going to say that for me, it's not a winter of discontent because yeah, I'm looking outside right now and the snow is kind of drifting down.
Right.
And so I'm kind of surrounded by nature here and really enjoying it. So I think we need to connect with Mother Earth and enjoy the cold season right now. And then, of course, looking forward to the return of the warmth, the return of the sun, and the spring ephemerals that are right now sleeping underneath all that snow. But the promise of spring is already in the air.
I concur. Over here on the other side of the valley, exactly. Happy solstice, Glenn.
Yeah. And one more thing before we go, and that's to remember.
Oh, to listen to your mother. Happy solstice, everyone.
Take care.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.